Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts, Mark Zielinski, Jeremy Duval, and Rob Phaneuf as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
You're listening to Countercharge. I'm Jeremy Duval.
I'm Devlin Smith.
I'm Billy Smith.
And I'm Mark Zielinski. Welcome to another episode of Countercharge. And this is a really special episode because we're going to talk about Lone Wolf 2018. And everyone on the call here consisted of the Countercharge crew that attended the event. So I'm very, very excited to sit down and chat with you guys. So good time, Jeremy.
Yeah, and I'm just shocked. Mark, you play in Kings of War tournaments? I saw proof. I saw living proof this weekend.
And Billy Smith, I do believe that you mentioned that so far to date in 2018, I have played in more tournaments than one Rob Phaneuf.
You've at least matched him as far as I can tell, because I think the last one I remember was Manticon in March. Last year?
He did play Shiloh this year. That's
okay.
That's
his one. So just one. Mark, if you go to one more, you will have passed Rob.
There's my incentive. Okay, so which one's up next?
We're going to TNT. I don't know anything else about in your area.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll have to do that. So, but yes, there's photographic evidence. I do play Kings of War at tournaments. So there you go. Well, speaking of which, I thought, you know, what we do tonight, guys, is just kind of work our way through the weekend. Because it was such a good time, we'll just kind of start on Friday, kind of work our way in through the timeline, and at the end of the show, I have all the awards. So I recorded the awards ceremony at Lone Wolf, and we'll go ahead and play that for everybody, like I said, at the end of the show. So, Jeremy, I think you were the first one to arrive in Texas. So
when did Jeremy get there? I got there on Thursday. Well, technically, I got there the Saturday before.
Oh, all right, Billy, you get to start. So
I think it's fitting, in, you know, being that we're covering Lone Wolf, that we do the beer phase.
It's an awesome idea. All right, Billy, what are you drinking? What are you drinking it out of?
I'm drinking a Highland Park 12-year-old single malt scotch out of my Ranger Creek Brewing and Distilling lowball glass, neat, that I got at Ranger Creek Brewing and Distilling in San Antonio, Texas.
Fantastic. All right. Well, what do you think, Devlin? What are you drinking? What are you drinking it out of?
I am drinking a 12-month-old Mountain Dew Code Red out of an aluminum can. It is quite fashionable, and that's it for me.
Jeremy, what do you got on offer tonight?
I am drinking a delicious tropical fruit-flavored Rockstar Punched, because after this recording, I'm going to see Avengers, and that movie is like 4 hours long. So I need some caffeine to make sure I don't fall asleep at the end. And I'm drinking straight from the can.
All right, Billy. Well, I'm going to match you in the glass. I'm actually drinking out of a glass. I am drinking some high-quality filtered water from my refrigerator, and I am drinking that from a Briarfest 2013 pint glass. The theme that year was denim and diamonds. And yes, I actually sadly attended the event. Thankfully, that was my last Briarfest. My daughter had to experience it, so. I had a good time in Lexington, Kentucky, though. I would send the girls off to Briarfest. Colin and I would hit the local Games Workshop store and hang out. So, good times, good times. So, speaking of which, now, Billy, you came in early, so why don't you go ahead and start and bring us up to Friday, because then I think Jeremy jumps in.
Right. So I actually left for San Antonio, Texas on a family vacation on April 20th. So right after I got off work, we drove straight down there. And I spent close to a week in San Antonio before Ryan Smith and I drove up to Fort Worth on Thursday. When we got in, we met up with Mark Cox and all the UK guys and Jeff and everybody. And we went to Hop Fusion in Fort Worth, which is a microbrewery, and they have, you know, all kinds of different fancy beers. So we did that. And then I proceeded to drink way too much, since someone else is going to bring it up. Proceeded to drink way too much. And I was doing fine until Jeff Swan gave me a can of sparkling mead, to which, you know, at the time I was pretty, was already pretty drunk. And then they were like, have this. And that pushed it over the edge. So no more. No more sparkling mead for me.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Now, is Hot Fusion the place with giant Jenga that we see every year?
It is. And I'm actually a Jenga wizard, in case you guys didn't know this. They were all stunned at how amazing I was at Jenga. However, Dan King executed the most amazing, like, drunken master Jenga move I've ever seen in my entire life. He, like, pulled out the most precarious piece with just incredible force. It started falling. He started falling into the thing. He supported himself on it and balanced it out. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen. But it was a good time. He definitely did better than he did last year anyway.
So while you were down there, now, Jeremy, did you come in Thursday or Friday?
I came in Thursday, but I didn't make it up to the event till Friday. I have some family in Texas. My mom lives in Texas. She's retired there. That's where she's from originally. So I flew into Austin on Thursday, and my mom picked me up from the airport. I spent Thursday night visiting with her. She made me some sandwiches. You know, it was pretty cool. And then I got to the event on Friday, and I was dropped off at Jeff's house. A bunch of people were hanging out. The Brits were putting their armies back together after the car crash heard around the world. And I didn't realize when I got there that Billy was in the house. I just was being regaled of how smashed he was. And then all of a sudden, like, rising from the depths, like, Billy was upstairs standing, you know, and it was like, hello. So it was pretty cool. You know, I hadn't met Billy yet. He's, you know, again, it goes to show, like, you get to know people through this hobby online first, and then you meet them in person, and it's like, they're just your buds right away. You know, it was pretty cool to get to meet him. You know, I had met Devlin at Masters. So, but it was pretty cool to hook up with Billy. We all went and had some awesome barbecue that day. That was just incredibly good. And then we were off to the venue.
Yo, now, while you guys, I think, were putting models together, I landed at DFW. So of course my plane was late, so we left Cleveland an hour and 15 minutes late, but I only arrived 35 minutes late at the gate, so they punched it in the air and got us there, so not too bad. Got off the plane, and as I'm going to get the courtesy van, I'm checking Twitter, and I see Gibney go, I just picked up the courtesy van, and I'm heading to the hotel. It's like, really? Pick me up. I'm sitting at the airport, too, and unfortunately, Gibney grabbed it, but he waited for me. Good for him. So I grabbed the next shuttle van, went in there, checked in, got my room, and then he and I proceeded over to what I call Lone Wolf. Now, I don't know if this is north, south, east, or west of the venue. I think it's south, so I'm going to call it Lone Wolf South, and that is the Big Apple. And you will notice that that phrase repeats itself throughout the weekend. But that was awesome. And so Gibney and I went over there for lunch, and then we started our Festival of Shiners for the day. So, and it is also when we met the infamous MVP of the entire weekend, Christy, the barmaid from the Big Apple, but more on Christy later. So Gibney and I were there. Walt Simpson showed up. He bopped across the way, and we just started gathering people. Len and Roy stopped by. And we were there for a while, and then we headed back over to the venue. And the one thing was, Gibney told me that he flew in while Devlin, you were driving into the event with a whole bunch of stuff, because I said, where's your army? He says, the guys are bringing it. I flew in, they're driving in. So Devlin, we're sitting there drinking Shiner Box, having a wonderful time at the Big Apple. Where were you?
Well, Mark, I was slaving over a hot steering wheel. So the story begins at 9, or I guess 8 that morning, where we all met up at Gibney's house, affectionately known as the Rat House to those who are in the know. But Gibney was there just kind of handing us stuff to shove into my trunk as he goes, okay, I'm about to get on a plane. So then we had to go make a beer run, and then it was kind of off to the races for about 7.5 hours. So we arrived in Dallas, probably hit Dallas around 5, went to Texas Toy Soldier, and then I managed to navigate to the incorrect Marriott, because I walked in. I was like, this is way fancier than I remember. So a 20-minute trip later, we arrived at the actual venue, and it's where we kind of ran into you as soon as we came through the front door. So I think you'd already come back from the Big Apple, and everyone was kind of gathering at the in the gaming hall at that point.
I'd like to point out that all of the Blue City Brawlers failed to check their Blue City Brawler official chat and not get me General Veers for Star Wars Legion.
Yeah, we were pretty terrible about that. I do apologize, really.
I blame Bowen.
Absolutely.
He's the one that leaves the notifications on, so he should have known.
All right, well, that sounds good. Well, you know, you can't be on Chris too bad, because as you'll hear later in the episode, well, at the end of the episode, he did some pretty special stuff over the weekend, so very, very cool. So we all hooked up, started meeting up at the venue. Billy, of course, you roll out that beautiful army. You know, when I go walking in, it was right there by the front door. Unbelievable. You know, meet Jeremy there live and in person for the first time. So that was cool, bud, hooking up with you for the first time. And, you know, just general everybody running around having a grand old time on your Friday night alone, Wolf. So,
yeah, you know, I'm happy, Mark, you didn't body shame me like Rob does. So I appreciate that you accepted me and for who I am. As opposed to anytime you were, you know, with Rob, the first time I met him, every time we interviewed someone, he'd be all like, oh, so you're meeting Jeremy for the first time. You know, he doesn't really look like his voice, does he at all? And I was just like, okay, Rob. So Mark accepted me for the beautiful flower that I am.
Jeremy, I've seen your picture enough. It was like, you know, it's like you said, when you're hanging out online all the time, you already know everybody. So it's just like you just carry on. It's just, you know, I've seen enough pics and heard the voice and done enough work with you over the years. It was fantastic. But it's always nice to, you know, I can't even say put the voice with the face because I already knew that. It was just nice to actually be in the same room. So it was fantastic. And the one thing that we talked about was, oh, yeah, we're going to do Countercharge Live Friday night. Blah, blah, blah. And as I told Jeremy before we got there, we're not doing a whole lot of recording this weekend, and I was right.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. You have a lot going on. I think the magic in the recording that we did at Masters was, since Rob wasn't playing, he was able to set up and have a dedicated space, and I think it's hard to organize recording and also be in the mindset to play in a tournament at the same time. It's just too much to wrap your head around.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, we kind of split up on Friday night. So I played in the inaugural Lone Wolf Dungeons and Dragons game, so which was a great time. Nathan Arnold went ahead and ran that. And we had J.P. Scott playing there. We had Patrick Allen's. Oh, I'm going to die because I can't remember the other person's name. But we had a great time. It was fantastic. So while we were playing D&D in the main lobby there, what were you guys up to? Why don't we go ahead and start with Jeremy?
So Billy and I were able to get a game in, which was fun. I got to look at that beautiful army of his, and really was pretty amazing. I mean, I'd seen pictures of it, but, you know, those armies that are so nice, they're even nicer in person. That's when you know you have a really great army. Like, the closer you get to it, the nicer it looks, as opposed to the more you walk away, the nicer it looks. So we had a blast. We got a chance to get a game in for the most part until they closed the hall, and just, you know, a lot of chit chat, checking out everyone's armies. You know, that this was kind of like my third big GT from Alamo and then Masters and now. So I feel like I'm just kind of starting to get to know people. So instead of being in a room full of no one I knew 10% of the people. So it's kind of each event you go to, you make a couple new friendships, you start getting to know people a little better. So there was a little bit of that sort of, hey man, what's going on? How you been doing? You know, what army did you bring? Billy's army was amazing. Robbie King's army was beautiful. He had a massive display board. You know, they do it big in Texas. So it was cool. It was a lot of just kind of seeing the lay of the land. The hall that they have the event in is beautiful. Lots of open space. You know, we're going back and forth to the bar. I had a nice drink and talk with Todd Serpico, who was my first game one. Todd is a great guy. Todd and I have a lot of similar philosophy as far as Tournaments are fun, but the real secret sauce is the community and the relationships that we build through the GT scene. Todd and I are both in the same mindset in that. So him and I got to hang out together, have some drinks in the bar, and it was just kind of getting excited, getting ready for 2 days of Kings of War.
There you go. Yeah, Jordan Lawrence was the other person at the table with us, so big tip of the hat to Jordan. So, Devlin, what'd you end up doing Friday night?
So, shortly after we arrived at the venue, everyone's stomachs growled. I was kind of in between checking out the hockey game, as I'm a huge Predators fan. They were playing the playoffs at that time. But we kind of wandered behind the venue to the faux Kobe place and managed to snag a little bit of food. It was super delicious. But as we – and by we, I mean me, myself, Dan Kamick, and Chris Bowen, as they were my passengers and cohorts through most of the weekend. We wandered kind of back over to the gaming hall, caught Billy at the end of his game with Jeremy, and then it was off to Walmart to get our, you know, pantry goods for the Lone Wolf points and Billy some toiletries. So that was kind of – came back, just kind of hung out a little bit more at the hall, kind of already closed. So it was just kind of go up to the room and, you know, shoot the stuff, and that's kind of how the Friday night ended.
Yo, so nothing too rough and ready on Friday night. We were kind of saving it up for Saturday, maybe, but I know we were having a good time. So it was just great hanging out with everybody and stuff like that. So everybody woke up, and yeah, it was a little rough getting up for breakfast. Gibney looked like The Walking Dead there, I remember, Saturday morning. So, but yeah, we were ready to go. So round one, a Lone Wolf. So, you know, got everybody squared away, got some breakfast in us, and off we went. So I'll go ahead and start. So my first game, I had my grudge match against Nathan Arnold, so which was fantastic. And I'm very proud to say that I was able to power him on. And you'll hear more about that during the award ceremony. A little foreshadowing there. But yeah, I had my game one, and it was Texas Hold'em. And I'm glad that we played this game first, because this was a brain melter with all the different complications with your cards, their cards, the river, the whole nine yards. So, but yeah, I played Nathan's Salamander list. He had a great list, and you know, it was a lot of fun to play against. His models were nicely painted, and so we had a great time. Battle went back and forth, back and forth. I was using Robbie King's Troll Army, and I rolled turn 7. And I did not use my tournament reroll to get rid of turn 7, because I didn't even think about it. I did do it later in the tournament, though. But, yeah, turn 7 was the was my undoing. I got smashed up really bad in turn 7 there. So I went down flaming 19-1. So nice way to start the tournament. However, you would think that was bad, but that's better than what John Folks did to me last year, which was a 20-0, so I was a point higher than last year, so I was happy. How about you, Jeremy? How'd you run?
So just real quick, I forgot to mention, on Friday we did play at the end of the night. I think it was called Ticket to Ride.
Hey, you guys played Ticket to Ride Europe. Awesome game.
We played Ticket. Yeah, oh, man, it was so much fun. Jeff Daniels and myself and Jen, Jeff Swan's wife, and a couple other people, we played that. Really late. I don't think we finished till 2 or 3 in the morning, but a super fun friend game. I just wanted to give those guys a shout out. So my first game was my challenge game against Todd Serpico. He was playing Abyssals, a nice solid list, some good infantry, some good flying monsters. I felt pretty good going into the game as far as sleep wise. I didn't repeat my master's mistake of playing 3 games the night before. I only played like 0.80% of a game with Billy, so I wasn't exhausted. Pretty solid game. It was very close. I felt like I had a slight advantage, and there was one key combat I snaked, and then you had a tournament reroll, so I used my reroll and rolled another one and wasn't able to break Todd's Archfiend. And, you know, Todd's a real solid player, and when you make a mistake or have a key nerve roll go against you, it's tough to battle back. After that point, the whole game just collapsed for me at that point. So he ended up winning, I think it was 17-3. But solid game, and Todd's a good guy, so it was a good game. We had a great time getting the tournament off to a fun start.
All right, that sounds like an awesome time. Yeah, it was nice meeting Todd in person, too, and I can say that about everybody down there. I had such a good time, so it was fantastic. So, Devlin, how'd you run first round? Who did you have a challenge first round?
I did not have a challenge. I was kind of anybody that I kind of surveyed the field and was like, ooh, I think I might want to challenge that person. Someone had gobbled up the challenge before I'd gotten my word in. So I was just kind of flying in under the radar, as you do. So my first round game was against Todd O'Neill, and he was playing like a historical list. It was Macedonians, I believe. And so it was on the Texas Hold'em. I think our river was kill your most expensive unit. For my army, I was running Empire of Dust. That was my Idol of Shobik. He had a horde of heavy pike that had like the equivalent of Brew of Strength. And I managed to do like focus fire shooting in the second round of the game. Managed to do 12 wounds and then rolled in boxcars to waver it in the middle of the field. And then the next turn, I was able to finish it off with the same amount of shooting. So that helped kind of turn it in my favor, as I didn't want to fight that giant phalanx and snare kind of horde. So I was kind of able to just kind of manage other pieces of his army, add a couple of like not great nerve tests. But in the end of the day, my army was just really resilient and it didn't matter too much. I ended up sneaking a bunch of the scenarios in at the end. And so I finished 19-1. Attrition wasn't too far apart. I think it was only a couple hundred points, but I just managed to kind of gobble up a lot of the ticky-tack points here and there. And that's how that game went for me.
Fantastic. Yeah, you got off to a good start. So how about you, Billy? How'd you do round one?
Well, I was challenged by Brian Bredeur from OKC. We kind of met on After Dark and bonded over our mutual hatred of the name of the wind and our love of all things Star Wars. And so we just decided to play. And I kind of just put up a Bobo challenge of like, oh, we're going to play. And then he blew me out of the water with his amazing challenge. And lewd comments were made. But that was a fun game. Most of the people kind of voted against me in the cast. They were like, oh, well, you know, a good player with your list could probably do it. But I eked out a 12-8 win because at the end of the game, when most of my stuff was dead, all of my flying things flew to the other corners and I contested objectives. So, but that was my best game of the week, and I gave him my best sports vote. It was just a super good time. He gave me this crazy beer that I can't remember the name of, or but it was like bourbon barrel aged chocolate something, but it's really good. And we had an awesome time and hung out all weekend. And so, yeah.
Tip of the hat to Len and Roy, who happened to bring me an amber beer every round for all of Lone Wolf. He did that in gratitude for me bringing him some limited edition Mantic Walking Dead models from Adepticon. So big tip of the hat to Lennon for keeping me fueled for the entire tournament. So that was nice. Every round I would get a new surprise beer. It was great. So, all right. So, well, we moved into round two. Round two was the Lone Ranger, Lone Wolf scenario. So I drew Jody Stubblefield, and what a great game. I had so much fun. He was rocking an undead list. And I was sitting there looking at that, and he got first turn, came across the field. I was really kind of pinned in the back, and I was just thinking to myself, man, I don't know how I am going to get myself out of this. And boy, power of the trolls, a couple good rolls here and there, you know, maybe a little tactics here or there. But at the end of the day, I ended up taking a 15-5 somehow. I was very, very happy. Took out the zombie legions, and that, you know, made me very, very happy. So, but yes, I felt the ground shake in Texas. Mark won a game. So it was fantastic. So yeah, 15-5. So I was up 16 at that point. I was very, very happy. And yeah, getting ready for game three after that. But Jeremy, how'd you run in game two?
So after my loss to Todd, I'm like, okay, you know, 0 degree down bubble. Launch starboard countermeasures. I was ready to submarine, and I go up to the round two posting board, and I find out that my submarine opponent in round two was Dustin the Super Beast Howard. So a nice little easy game for my round two of Lone Wolf. Super great guy. Probably the best part of our game is he had his Macho Man shirt on. So I don't know, for non-wrestling fans, this won't make sense, but I went up and gave him the Mega Powers handshake, which was the handshake heard around the world when Hulk Hogan and Macho Man became the Mega Powers. Our game was super fun. What that game taught me reaffirmed one thing and taught me another. You can't make mistakes against good players at that level because they punish you for it. And two, the Texas scene, and especially Lone Wolf, were very complex. Not overly complex, but deep, complex scenarios that if you didn't really stop to think and read them, you could get hurt for it. And I just didn't pay enough attention to the scenario and did it was a modified kill where you got a huge amount of extra points if your special Lone Range character lived through the whole game and ended up in your opponent's deployment zone. And I just didn't spend enough resources to kill that. And essentially that gave him an extra 800 victory points, like kill points, basically. So he killed an extra 800 points of my army by not killing that one character. So that was my mistake. I definitely learned a lesson from that. You know, when you're playing a complex scenario, turn three or turn four, take a break for a second, reread the scenario, be really clear with yourself what you need to do, where your points are, you know, where those bonus points are. But it was a great game. Dustin, I hadn't played him yet. He's a really nice guy. I loved his army. You know, people talk a lot about his skill as a general, but I think he's a good hobby guy too. His army in person looks really nice. So that was fun. So I ended up losing that game 18-2. So we were getting off to a good start. You had me hosed at that point, Mark, because after game two, I had a whopping 5 points.
Look at that. We'll see how this ends up, won't we? And I got to echo that. I met Dustin for the first time and his lovely bride, a nicer person you would never want to meet. Oh, my God. He is such a great person. I got a chance to chat with him a few times over the weekend. So absolutely tip of the hat. All right, Devlin, how'd you run round two? Who'd you have?
I just want to shout out that Dustin Howard is someone who I want to grow up to be Dustin. Like, I don't know how that's going to happen, but if you want to hear more about Dustin, check out the episode, the Empire of Dust review that I did with him and Nathan Clevenger at Masters, and you'll get a lot of insight into how each one of us runs our lists. But as for my game two, enough with the shameless plugs, I played Tim Gleese, who was a local kind of goblin player. He played one of our clubmates. He played Dan Kamek in round one and thrashed him 20-0. And that was kind of surprising because Dan's probably one of the best players in our club. So I was like, oh boy, I got to deal with this. And it's kills. So it's like, even if I kind of blink off all of these units, you know, goblin units don't cost anything. But, you know, kind of held firm. We kind of went back and forth. I managed to get a lot of flank charges with my hordes of birds, which against goblins actually does some things. So later in the game, I had some good rolls. I was able to start. I wavered his lone wolf at some point, and I was able to finish it shortly after. He kind of cornered my idol Shobik, and I was worried how I was going to get out of it, but I was able to kind of make a long kind of desperation charge past everything. I had just the right pivot to hit his horde of Fleabag Riders. Yeah, so he had a horde of the Fleabag Riders because he took the formation that gave him, like, Strider and stuff. So just because the frontage was so huge, I was able to get around a lot of his units and, like, just barely clip it. I was able to blow through that unit with the big guy and kind of put me on the right foot, and I was able to pick up a lot of units turn 5 and 6. So I ended up winning that one. It was a hard-fought game. We went to time, it seems like. We were both thinking, mostly me. I had to really position, and it was probably my hardest thinking game of the afternoon. But I ended that one with a 15-5 win, and now I'm sitting at 2-0 and going, oh, crap, I'm at 34 points. Where am I going to go from here? And foreshadowing, it's going to get pretty disgusting pretty soon. So, Billy, how'd your first game go, or your second game?
Round two, I was able to play Walter Simpson, one of the guys that flew over from the UK, and he was rocking salamanders, so it was an awesome game. He gave me some honey tea, as he referred to it, because we were being discreet about our alcohol drinking. It was awesome. It was basically kill, and there were a couple key moments where I wasn't paying attention to what Surge could do, and it hurt. But that was the game where the Worm Riders really I fell in love with that unit because everything they touched just vaporized. But then, you know, I got caught out by some fire elementals in the flank with a sneaky Surge charge. But it was an awesome game. He got my other sports vote because it was so much fun.
Remember how your score turned out?
Yes, I lost 8-12, so it was pretty close. I was I had him on the ropes for probably the first three or four turns, and then my Worm Riders got knocked out, and then it all kind of fell apart from there for me. But it was an awesome game, super fun, and next time, hopefully I'll get to play next time.
There you go. So far, Devlin's leading the pack. So, all right. Remember, Devlin, how you mentioned that Dan was getting smacked around early? Well, round three, Texas Twister, who rocks up to the table? But Dan Kamek. I was so excited. And the funny thing is, we were in the lobby going, we were kind of comparing scores. It's like, wouldn't it be awesome if we were playing each other in round three? And damn, if we didn't end up meeting up, it was fantastic. So he was rocking a herd list. And I'll tell you what, he had some beautiful conversions in that army. I really, really liked it a lot. I'll tell you what, that herd army just outranged me and outclassed me at every turn. He had that herd stone in the middle, and I just got absolutely gutted. It was, he had all the charge distances and everything, and I just slowly got crunched. I went down flaming 20-0, but it was a fantastic game. I had so much fun, and his army was so beautiful, and I learned a lot during that game. As I was sitting there thinking about how useless my rock lobbers were. I mean, I was just, those guys were doing nothing for me the whole game. But fantastic game. So glad I got to play Dan. It was a real honor and a privilege. So, but still went down 20-0 and off we go. So Jeremy, round three, Texas Twister. How'd you do?
So I played Jody Stubblefield, who you had played earlier in the previous round, I think, Mark. I hadn't played Jody yet. Really nice guy. He had an undead army. I think he was one of the only other players at the tournament that was running zombie legions. He had two of them, one with brute sharpness like mine, but he also had Morgoth. So he had given the zombie legion regen, which was amazing, and I'm stealing that for my next tournament. Jody also had this amazing model that he was using for his Revenant King with wings. It was like a corpse cart conversion with a guy playing guitar, like spewing fire, like from Mad Max. Really cool. He had Dark Eldar Ravens in his zombie legions, like flying around with the corpses. Some very nice modeling, a very beautiful looking army. I was able to win that game. I think I just had a little bit more speed than Jody did. I was able to get some charges that I wanted. He got a little bogged down with his infantry. Great guy, but I was able to get a 20-0 win in that game.
Jody, fantastic. I was so glad I got to play him. He, absolutely top-notch guy. So, absolutely. So, Devlin, how'd you do with the Texas Twister in round three?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I had won two straight games, much like Icarus in the fable. I flew too close to the sun and my wax wings melted. Round three, I was matched up against the Dan King, famous for just being renowned Kings of War butt kicker extraordinaire. So he was playing his Varanger list, which was beautiful, and it had this really, really nice display board that I brought with me from home. So shout out to me for that. No, it was Rob made it for him last year, and so we brought it back to Lone Wolf this year for him. So we played the Texas Twister, and for the first three turns, all the Twister rolls were going my way. But it doesn't seem to matter because he rolled, he got key rolls early in the game that kind of pushed him forward. He was kind of being aggressive with my army and I have to stay back because I can't outfight Varanger. But top of turn three, I'd done an aggressive play on one side and he ends up getting one of my Lich Priests and I was kind of prepared to lose that one. But he managed through the Twister And with individual, he rolls a bunch of sixes, probably I think it was three of them with elite from his Magus Conclaves, and sinks like eight wounds into my other priest and pulls them off the table. So now I have no more surge in my army, and he just like eviscerates me like piece by piece. Idol of Shobit just kind of stood there waving at a lot of his units. I learned that the most disgusting thing in this game is probably a regiment of mounted Sons of Khorgan with plus one to hit, because even if you go through woods, you're still hitting on threes and have Thunderous One, Crushing One, and it just annihilates things. I managed to eke a horde of skeletons across the table, and he couldn't really get back to them because he would kind of... he'd be forfeiting points to try to chase after them. So I managed to eke out 3 points in that loss to Dan King. He was quite the gentleman and the scholar. I really enjoyed the game. He whooped my butt, and that's what I get for doing well.
On the upside, Devlin, you got to play Dan King.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you know, the first couple of turns, I was spacing him out. I was really kind of making him think, and I was putting a lot of wounds on his Chimera. But once he managed to pop both my priests, he was just like, all right, there's blood in the water, I'm going for the kill. And he went for the throat, and boy, it was gnarly.
You learn more from losing than you do from winning, right? So hopefully you took something away from the game.
Yes, I did.
All right. Billy Smith, how'd you run? Texas Twister.
So for round three, I was matched up against Clint Tennell. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he was awesome. He was one of the dojo guys. Way too nice to be a dojo guy. But he had the super cool triple Ogre Warrior Legion list from the matchup cast. And I was like, I have no idea how to fight this. But sometimes I do things right. And I was able to, you know, because we set up the terrain every round at Lone Wolf, I was able to kind of put enough woods and stuff everywhere so that he couldn't run through on them. But when I wanted to, I could run through them unhindered because I was playing nature. Yeah, I basically just more or less the plan of my army is kind of like hold everybody up in the center, and then one side wheels around. And then if that works, then it's great. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. The tornado kind of screwed me a couple times. There were some moments where I really wanted to fly and do some shenanigans, but I couldn't. And they harmed my shooting just a little bit, but it was a super, super fun game. Very, very tight. I played really well in that game. Like I kept telling our guys that I did all the right moves, and I did everything the way that the list was meant to in my head. And so I felt really, really good about that game. I finished with a 12-8. But man, it was a tough to get 12-8. Like it was hard. But it was a lot of fun, and I had a great time.
Well, by the end of three games, we are pretty toasted. So we all got ready to go out to dinner and have a grand old time. So I know Jeremy and I, we saddled up and headed over to the Big Apple. There was a lot of talk about karaoke that night, but I didn't stay for that. But we had a good time doing that and eating and drinking and having a relatively good time. So where'd you guys end up?
Devlin, Dan, Bowen, and Tim Gleese and I went to a Mexican restaurant that's become kind of a Lone Wolf tradition. Devlin's gone there 3 years in a row, but we went there last year with a big party. And yeah, we just sat around and talked about miniatures and listened to SZA in the car. It was a good time.
Yep, it was Los Jimadores. It has a giant tequila factory sign on the outside, but we managed to make it there the first year I went to Lone Wolf, so I've been there all 3 years. It's been Kings of War. And then we drunkenly arrived there last year as well, and then I made sure to seek it out this year because it's kind of become a longstanding tradition for – it was me and Rob, but Rob was a pansy and didn't make it out this time, so me and Billy and Dan can form our own traditions, so – that's where we went.
I was there last year. I believe it was the same place. So we had a really good time. Mike Growski was there. And I know we talked all about 3D printing most of the night while we were eating, drinking, having a good time. The food's really good there.
Yes. And I spoke the words, y'all want to get Mexican food. And Dan and Bowen's eyes just kind of lit up. So we knew this is what we had to do.
Very good. Very good. So, you guys were out for a while because I don't remember seeing you guys until later on in the evening. You know, we had a good time over there and headed back over. And then I ended up back in the gaming hall and where Chris Gibney was holding court with Ryan Smith. Ryan was in charge of the hall, so because I wasn't going to stick around for any type of karaoke or anything. So I think we lost Jeremy at some point, and then we ended up in the lobby, and, you know.
I need to give a shout out to Brian Brodeur for safely escorting me back to the hotel. I don't have a recollection of much of that evening due to the massive amounts of screwdrivers that were being purchased and placed before my orifice to be consumed by me. But I guess I went on some sort of text rant that evening that I don't remember either. But the evidence is there for all to see. But I was smart in that at least I got in bed by early, so I was still really drunk, but I was in bed and drunk, so I didn't quite feel as bad the next morning.
We were sitting in the lobby, and then Jeff Swan finally brought me the beer I was waiting for. So he was pulling out his little mini kegs and growlers and everything, and you know, all those wonderful beers you hear about on the Beer Phase podcast were passing over to me in cups, and it was fantastic. We had a really good time, but I think I cashed in about 1 o'clock, something 1 o'clock. Yeah, probably something like 1 o'clock. So how about you guys? What time did you guys finally cash in your chips?
I think we ended up I ended up going up to Dan and Bowen and Devlin's room for a little bit, and we had some more drinks, and then we came back down when we were trying to get Jeremy to come back down. And then eventually they kicked us out of the hall. And I think I went to bed because I was running on very little sleep at that point. So I turned on my staple Forensic Files and went right to sleep.
All right. So we had a wonderful Saturday night. Great time. I have not seen the viral Dan King karaoke video. I don't know where that is, but I'd be interested in watching it. So I just didn't stay for the karaoke. So it was getting pretty loud over there at the Big Apple. But again, big tip of the hat to Christy, the barmaid over there at the Big Apple. She took great care of everybody, and it was fantastic. Everybody was going over there looking for her. So she, like I said before, she was the MVP for Lone Wolf for me over the weekend. She really did a nice job. So, all right. So Sunday morning came, and I think I have logged a total of 9 hours of broken sleep over two nights, so I was pretty tired. I wasn't still drunk in the morning. I was just tired, and I was getting ready for game four, and I was kind of hesitant to see what was going to happen for me for game four, and I got to play Q and Jen Starling, and I was so happy because I've always seen them at the tournaments, and I never got to play them before, and they were rocking an elf army that was just beautiful. Oh, very, very nice. And they had two hordes of the chariots in there, and they did a nice job. They used the Tomb King chariots and then put the stags from the old GW deer riders on there. And fantastic. But they had a flying circus, and we played the bullseye. So basically a modified dominate scenario. And my slow-moving trolls and giants were no match for the flying circus. I just got surrounded, crushed, and they had a great time. They would switch off. One round I played Q, one round I played Jen. And it was just a fantastic game. I had so much fun. And I'm going to say that because they kicked my butt 20-0 as well. So two games in a row, 20-0, down in flames. But again, we were laughing the whole time, and it was just fantastic. And I got a real big respect for what a big flock of flyers can do to you. So, all right. So, Jeremy, how did you run?
Yeah, so my fourth game was against Mark Bryson, who was one of the Oklahoma crowd guys. He came down with Brian Brodeur, who's one of our After Dark regulars. Mark had a cool herd army, and we were playing one of the scenario we were playing was Bullseye, which is sort of a modified dominate scenario where there was kind of concentric circles in the middle of the table, and as you got closer and closer to the middle, the unit strength in those areas were worth more points. So basically it's a dominate, but the sort of the caveat, which is some of the other guys mentioned, was you can deploy 15 inches instead of 12 inches. And at this point, sort of, I had kind of had two losses and then one good win. I felt to kind of get me anywhere good into overall standings, I was going to have to play pretty aggressively. So I deployed some of my flyers pretty much right at the 15-inch line, knowing that whoever went first, because he had some Eagle troops or some Eagle regiments, that whoever went first was going to get some first turn charges. So I lost the roll to go first. So Mark was able to go first and essentially get some nice first turn charges. The first couple of games, it was looking pretty rough. He was able to get a good – I had one mismeasurement, and he was able to measure my Pharaoh and got pretty good – or he was able to charge my Pharaoh with wings, which he killed. And then he was able to overrun into a horde of werewolves, which he killed as well. So that was – the first couple of turns were not looking very good, but – Fortunately, towards kind of the middle end of the game, I was able to get my big units in the center, my Zombie Legion and my Skeleton Horde. And then just kind of use some of my other speed to where pretty much after that first and second turn, he was never really able to bring his Stampedes to bear again for the rest of the game. He kind of got clogged up a little bit in his own lines, which is pretty much what you need to do, I think, against Herd, is they have so much charging power that you need to either get them bogged up so they get caught behind their own stuff, or just make it so that they don't have a lot of room to maneuver. And thankfully, I was able to do that. And by the end of the game, I think I got one nice use either a double ones or a three or something to keep one of my hordes of werewolf, my other horde of werewolves alive for one additional turn. So pretty much by the end of the game, he didn't have much left, and I had my big scoring units in the middle of the table, so I won that game 20-0.
All right, sounds good, Jeremy. So, Devlin, how did you do the bullseye round four?
All right, so I ended up playing someone who I played in my first Lone Wolf. It was Lex Simon. He's from somewhere in Texas, but Lex is a good guy. He was playing Trident Realms, and he had a bunch of the new and improved, what are they called, Depth Horrors. So now that they're, you know, fearless and all that kind of stuff and better nerve, it was a tall task because I kind of had to avoid them because I didn't really want to get in combat. You know, being an undead army, I'm mostly hitting on fours and fives anyway, so that would go to sixes. He did some – I have a burning hatred for the Siren. That thing, especially with having individual and, like, stealthy and all that kind of stuff, is just too good. He pulled he had nimble water elementals, and he did two things to me that was just disgusting. So first was a round two. I was kind of outside of some woods with my with a regiment of mummies, and he kind of moved forward into the woods with water elementals, and he kind of moved sideways, like was kind of in front of me but facing what would be my flank if I was right in front of him with those nimble water elementals. He used the Siren, pulled me forward into the woods, and then flank charged me with his surge caster on his Thule. So that was ridiculous. He did a lot of wounds, but he managed not to break me, and me, in the ultimate fit of being a good sport, stupidly told him that, hey, remember, you have a Lone Wolf reroll, to which he used and then killed that model, that unit, really good. So hopefully I got some sportsman points out of that one, but I know I was a little surly later in the game. I was like, man, I should have shut up. too nice. But and then later, he did something I hadn't seen before. I charged kind of past his water elementals into his greater water elemental with my idol. And he moved forward with the water elementals and pivoted and then moved sideways and then pivoted again and moved back. So he was actually facing dead into my rear of the idol with the water elementals. And then he surged into the rear, managed to not kill it, even though he had the greater in the front and the horde in the rear. But my idol flubbed his attacks in the next turn against the water elemental, the greater, so he couldn't turn around, and he got finished off that time. But later in the game, I managed to kind of claw back the breath weapons on my two priests, managed to start doing a lot of work. I ended up killing his Thule, which kind of let me run free and not worry about his surge so much because he only had the one caster. But he just had too much stuff concentrated in the middle, so he kind of got that huge multiplier from the scenario. I ended up I like how I clawed back into this. I ended up losing 12-8. But I was proud of myself despite the loss of how well I'd kind of clawed back into that game. Billy, how about your game four?
In perfect GT tradition, I end up playing, well, in Lone Wolf tradition, I guess, too, I end up playing one of our guys the first game of day two. Last year I played Dan. This year I played Chris Bowen. So which was nice because I like playing Chris, and we actually haven't played a lot. Like despite the fact that we're in the same club, I hadn't played him in several months, so it was fine. I feel like I got a decent chance of doing okay against his list, and then I couldn't get around Basusu. Basusu held up my entire one side of the battlefield and really caused me to focus too much attention on that, and it ended up being like a crushing, just absolute defeat. He had like his entire army in the center, and I had like nothing anywhere near. I was trying to run away and get just get a bonus objective, like, oh, maybe I'll hold another quarter or have more characters in this, and he was just like, nope, and would turn into freed around and roll 20 fireballs into cover and do 10 damage and then proceed to roll a 7 to kill my beast of nature. I was like, okay, fine. So but it was still a fun game, and we talked about it later. You know, I think I did things mostly right. It was just Basusu is tough to deal with, and there were a couple times where, you know, he was just so out of position. My units were just out of position to be able to really get him. And there was a time where my Worm Rider Horde was just like a half inch away from being able to charge him just out of arc. And if I had done that, I probably would have run him over, and it would have been no big deal. I probably could have turned, and it would have been a closer game. But it was still fun. Had a good time. So that left me sitting at 32 points, I think, still for the weekend.
Oh, well, see, having fun is what it's all about, though, at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I went in and I told everybody my goal was I want to win at least one game. And I'd won two so far, so I was feeling pretty good. And everything was fun. And up until I played Bowen, I had played only brand new people. So that's what it's all about.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was my goal going into the weekend, too. I wanted to win one game. And I had done that so far, so I just kind of kicked it into easy mode and just kind of went there. And, you know, despite taking two 20-0s in a row, I was ready for round five. And one of the ones from last year, Six Flags over Texas. And I think this was the last game we played last year as well. Do you guys remember?
I do not remember.
That sounds right. I think it was.
Yeah, because I played Sean Malloy and his orcs and last year. So I remember this scenario because he had two giant, like, Horde Legion type things of orcs. It was like, I never seen anything so big. It's like, holy moly. Probably not since first edition Kings of War when we played in Clash of Kings 2014. I've never seen an orc unit that big before.
It's funny that was the last scenario because, like, the little fluff blurb in the player pack was like, after a long day of battling, you guys are just ready to go to Six Flags. It tickled me.
Absolutely. Yeah, but so I was familiar with the scenario. I knew what I was doing when that came up. So, and rocking up was Lance Hatcher. So, and he was playing Ogres, an army I know because I play that most of the time here at home. I usually don't play this many points of Ogres, but he was basically rocking a Braves list and, you know, with a lot of Warlocks. And it's like, oh, very cool. This is an army, and I don't have Braves that I've run in my armies yet, so I wasn't real familiar with how they were working. He had a lot of bodies and a lot of lightning. So, and I was sitting on the other end of the board, and I had short-range trombones, some rock lobbers that I think hit twice all weekend, some, you know, troops that moved as fast as his troops. So, unfortunately, he sat there, and he lightning bolted my butt, and he deleted a troll horde on round one, deleted a troll horde on round two, and it's like, I am just going to get picked off, so charge. And, you know, I was getting across the field as fast as I could, but he was just frying me on the way across. So then I lost my third one, and it was basically, you know, I was fighting for my life at that point. I just left my big giant unit of goblins in, you know, my center zone in the backfield and, you know, tried to hang on to that. But I just, you know, I lost too many units, you know, the lightning and the combination. It just was too much, overwhelming. And Lance was another great game. Had a great time playing him. And another 20-0 loss. three in a row. I was sitting on 16 looking good at the end of round two and just got basically steamrolled at the end. So the one thing I proved is it's not the list, it's the player all weekend. So I just did not play your list correctly and just, I don't know, I just got steamrolled those last three games. I felt good the first couple, but yeah, boy, that those last three, I just did not have the mojo. I was just outranged and I felt outgunned. And so I know when I ran into Robbie at Wendy's, he was talking about Leia in the army and all this kind of stuff. It's like, eh. So I didn't think I could have done that the last game just because I was getting zapped with all that lightning and just, you know, units were just disappearing and, you know, you just can't have that. So, so Jeremy, how did you run Six Flags over Texas round five?
My last game, which was funny because it was the same opponent that I finished up Alamo last year, was against Robbie King. Robbie and I have now, after our last game at Lone Wolf, have had two great games to end an event on. We had a blast when we played at Alamo as well. Robbie was playing his beautiful new elf army. He had an amazing display board, and he had built all his units, had elements on their multi-basing that sort of connected together. So he had a display board, but the units themselves, when they slotted together, they had actual elements connecting between all the different multi-bases, which was pretty cool. There's some great pictures of his army, I think. I had posted a couple, and I think just around the scene, if you're listening to this, you probably have seen pictures of his army. So kind of standard elf list. He had some Drakon flying hordes, some regiment of knights. He had some regiments of chariots, two regiments, so no hordes, just some regiments of chariots, a lot of standard bearers, and then he had some palace guard regiments. Pretty close game as any game Robbie and I have. The last match was a controlling table quarters, the last scenario, and there was a couple key moments. One moment, Robbie had decided to do a corkscrew charge with his knights on my vampire, knowing that if he killed the vampire, he could reface and be in a good position with a very expensive character down. But if he couldn't kill the vampire, I had a regiment of Soul Reavers coming in his flank. And even it would have been hindered, but even hindered, a 40 attacks on fours with crushing one thunderous one is going to kill pretty much any unit. So I think that was an aggressive play on his point, that if it had worked, he would have been sitting pretty good. But unfortunately, or fortunately for me, he was not able to kill the vampire. Next turn, I was able to pick up his knights. So pretty much on that side of the flank, I was controlling the board. On the other side of the flank, where I had my two hordes of werewolves and my king on a worm, were going up against his two Drakon hordes and his dragon. And at that point, I knew that I probably wasn't going to be able to win that flank. So at the end of the game, we had kind of moved a bunch of our units to kind of the intersecting points of the board quarter or board sections. And if your unit was straddling two different zones, you could decide where you wanted to put your unit strength. And then by the end of the game, we spent a good like 10 minutes going through all the permutations of like, well, if I have unit strength in this one and you have unit strength in that one, well, how much is this for bonus points? And eventually it came out to where it was 11-9 to me. So a very close victory. And then, as always, Robbie was a great opponent. Real blast playing that guy. And I was happy to have ended two major events with him as an opponent.
All right, cool, Jeremy. Well, sounds like you were really made a big comeback there. So, Devlin, Six Flags over Texas, round five. How'd you run?
So, I ended up playing one of the hangover heroes, Justin. I don't know how to actually pronounce his last name, but they all call him Balsack. But, no, me and Justin was racking up with an ogre list that I did not want to see whatsoever. He had the Hell on Wheels formation, so he had like a horde and two regiments of chariots with the warlord on a chariot that gave rally one, and then you give him the banner of the griffin, as you do, to make them all rally two. So, and then the rest of his army was like three boomer sergeants, three hordes of siege breakers, and two giants. I kind of played the scenario. I managed to kind of pick his chariots off. That was the kind of the focus fire. I managed to get a really beautiful surge with my idol. I kind of turned, moved my full movement. I was 10 inches away with my idol from the rear of his warlord on chariot.
as it had gotten behind my lines in between my two surge caster. I did make contact for the rear chart and just obliterated the thing. I was sitting pretty at the top of turn or at the bottom of turn six. I'd kind of sucked most of his siege breakers across the table because I wasn't going to deal with him in combat with all that defense six. And so I'd kind of limited him to just one corner, and I'd had a couple units across to just stretch him thin. That was going for me, but he ended up rolling. It went to turn seven, and he managed to get back onto the other lines, get into the other zones, because it's essentially, you know, control. And when we tallied everything up, the game ended in a 10-10 draw, and it was a great game. Justin was my favorite game of the weekend, and Tim was my second. I really love playing Dan King. He was probably my third, but it was just a great finish to the weekend. I went exactly average. I was hoping for three wins, but I finished with two wins, two losses, and a draw. So that's what I get for racing up with the wins early in the tournament and getting completely dominated at the top tables. But overall, I had a really good time.
So you had a shot at the counter charger at that point then, huh?
I actually did, and with foreshadowing, what was there? There was 77. I finished like 30, so I was probably a couple places off from finishing, from getting that award. But I was kind of gunning for it. I can't believe I'm saying this. Maybe my paint and sports are carrying me a little bit too high. I'm not known to be a hobbyist, but it steered me too close to the top, so I managed to just shoot over that by a couple of places.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. So, Billy, how'd you finish up the tournament?
So, in perfect Mark Zielinski style, I also was 20-0'd in my last game. I drew Mark Robichaud from Louisiana, and he was playing a very, very, very tough undead list. I mean, it had at least 40 surge. And it so, like, my normal tactic of, uh-oh, the game's going wrong, I better fly away, wouldn't work because I couldn't get far enough from anything without him being able to just, you know, fly some wraiths over and surge me. So it was very tough, but I took it like a champ. And it got to the point at the end of the game where I had almost no units left, and I put all my dice away, and I said, if you don't table my army, we're going to have a problem because I put all my stuff away already. so he proceeded to table me. He was rolling super hot like the first half of the game, like the first probably five turns or so. And then his dice started to cool off, and I kept yelling, like, it's too late for that. You got to finish what you started and stuff like that. So I had fun, even though it was a massacre. It made my recent games with Swatley look like sweet, passionate lovemaking in comparison. But, yeah, it was a good time, a good way to end the tournament. Tom was a nice dude. He was a super tactical, like, fun player, and it was just a good time. I had a great bunch of games with some new people. That's what it's about.
Fantastic. You were rocking the unicorn suit at that time, too. So
I was. I had forgotten my bag at Mark Cox's house, and then his wife, bless her, had brought it up the night before. So I was actually able to wear the unicorn suit for, you know, the awards and my last game.
So fantastic. Well, it sounds like everybody had a great tournament. So I had so much fun at Lone Wolf this year. It was absolutely terrific. If you have not gone to Lone Wolf before, even if you're a new player, if you can fly there cheap, it is worth going. A lot of fun. There's activities in the evening. Even if you're not a big drinker, there's activities in the evening. Great time. I just cannot highly recommend it enough. If I start thanking people, I'm going to forget people. So I'm going to thank everyone, because everybody I met there was top-notch, just absolutely fantastic. I can't say enough. So, Jeremy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, so it was a really awesome event. I guess the couple of takeaways, I kind of have two takeaways in sort of two different spheres. In gameplay, like actual in-tournament play, definitely when you're playing in an event that has complex scenarios or custom scenarios, stop turn four, turn three, turn four, and reread the scenario. Once I had done that in my third game, and then I did that for my third, fourth, and fifth game, I really saw a difference in what was happening. You know, my first loss to Todd was just really close. It came down to a real pivotal dice roll. And then my loss to Dustin in my second game was, you know, he played really well, but also, too, I just didn't read the scenario close enough. and didn't put enough energy into thinking about how to win the scenario, how to play to the scenario. So that was one thing I picked up, is in these events that use complex scenarios or scenarios outside of the Clash of Kings book, which I think is cool. I mean, I'm totally all for, variety is the spice of life. So going to an event that has custom scenarios is really great. But I think my takeaway from that was to just halfway through the game, take a second, reread the scenario, have an idea of what's going on. My other kind of goal going into Lone Wolf was to try to do better than I had done at Masters. Masters was kind of like a awesome time, but very tough event. You know, that event has a lot of really great players, and I had had some dice issues. And just so going into this event play-wise, is I was really hoping to do a little better, you know, always be improving. That's kind of a mantra I have, is I'm always trying to get better painting, always trying to get better at the tabletop. So this event, and I ended up by the end going 3-2, so a winning record pretty much. I had two good victories, one very close, pretty much draw against Robbie, one tough loss against Todd, which could have gone either way, and then one loss against Dustin. I mean, he's one of the best players in the country. So in general, I felt that I had done strategically better than I had at Masters, which was I felt really good about, that it was like an improvement. And then my other takeaway outside of the gameplay and just the hangout event, you know, this is now like my third big GT. I'm with the Alamo, Masters, and now Lone Wolf. And each time I go, you kind of meet a couple more people, so that the next time you go, you know a couple more people than you had the previous event that you've gone to. And, you know, it really begins to sink in why we go to these events, that the gameplay on the table is fun. But the real magic, the real special sauce for me is the relationships that we build. So this was yet another awesome tournament, more friendships forged, more, you know, I feel like each of these big events I go to, I meet a couple new people, or I kind of get more familiar with the regulars. You know, it was a blast. You know, I think that Lone Wolf definitely has some sort of the international mystique with the guys coming over from the UK. Numbers wise, it's a big event, and it definitely has me excited for the rest of the tournaments for the year.
Devlin, so why don't you wrap up the weekend for us?
So we went through the award ceremony, and just seeing us kind of clean up the soft scores was really, really awesome, because we're usually, you know, we've got some, not me, but we've got some good painters in our group. We've got some great sportsmen. Getting the team award for sports was the highlight of our weekend, I would say, which is kind of funny, because despite winning I won best sports at Lone Wolf 2 years prior, I actually didn't have high enough sports to help for the top four tally by like 1 point. So that was kind of funny to me, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally helping with the sports. I was like, no, I'm just an asshole. But no, we had a great time. I know that shout out to Dan, who came with us. He ended up placing top 10 at his second Lone Wolf. We keep telling him that he's the best one of us, and he doesn't believe us. But we'll learn him. And then really, really, really proud of Chris Bowen for getting that third place sports. It's hard to get him to be like overly energetic at games, and he can kind of zoom in and get like super focused. But I think losing that first game helped loosen him up, and so he really had a great time over the whole weekend, as we all did. And, you know, shout out to my man Billy for finally taking the display board wanker trophy home, and at least that was one thing we kept the Brits from getting.
Hey, display boards were not a part of the scoring, just an FYI.
And that was a great thing, because Robbie King forgot the display board, so my display board for Robbie's beautiful army was the lid of a Sterlite tub. So, Billy, big congratulations to you on taking out Best Painting. Why don't you wrap the weekend up for us?
Yeah, so it was actually really funny. You know, I rode up with Ryan Smith, and Ryan is an amazing painter, far better than me or anybody else. And he's just a fountain of knowledge on all things hobby and a whole bunch of other stuff too. So that was a great time. But, you know, he got called up for – they did painting first. So they called up player's choice. They called up third player's choice, and then they called me for second, and then Paul for first. And then you know, they called up third place paint, and then they called up second place paint, and they hadn't called me or Ryan yet. And I said, well, I guess I'm not getting it then, you know. And then when they called my name, I was ecstatic. I was genuinely shocked. And it's a big honor. You know, it's something I definitely work really hard at doing. And, you know, that's kind of what I go for, you know, is more learning how to paint stuff and trying to up that aspect of the hobby for me. Because I remember Ryan had said something on Kings of War on this podcast actually a long time ago that paint scoring is the only thing that's 100% in your control. You can always improve yourself and put the time in and practice. You know, the games are always going to come down to dice. Sportsmanship, you know, people don't always get along, or, you know, you don't always get other people's sense of humor. So I kind of took that to heart, and I really started pushing myself. And anyway, I'm rambling now, but I'm really pleased. Thank you guys for voting for me and everybody. And it was an awesome event. And if you haven't been to Lone Wolf, or you have and you love it, you should go, because it's amazing. It's the biggest tournament in the country. And Mark Cox puts on a great show. And, you know, everybody there is just friendly and amazing. So go to Lone Wolf.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and play the award ceremony now. But we will give the big shout out to the UK guys. They came in and just took a ton of hardware, as you're going to hear. So, I mean, just unbelievable. That's all I got to say. So, guys, any further comments or...
No, I think that's it for me. I'm just...
All right, fantastic. All right, folks. Well, thanks for joining us. We're going to go ahead and end the show with the award ceremony from Lone Wolf 2018. And until next time, join us at Lone Wolf 2019 and keep countercharging.
Prizes were given out. So that's what took me so long of doing some of those calculations. We'll start with the fun awards. These ones can go out to multi-winners, so don't get upset if you hear the same person come up here a couple of times. We'll do the Best Lone Ranger and Best Lone Wolf. The Best Lone Wolf went to David Sweat. He had a pretty cool ninja wolf balanced on a katana. David took all already, but we gave him the prize anyway. Best Lone Ranger goes to Paul Welsh.
Yes!
All right, this is a prize that nobody knew we were running with. Looks like I've got two of those. The first one is the April champion. The Blue City Brawl guys and I have been talking for the past couple of weeks and months. And I said, you know what would be cool is if we got a little bit of cross rivalry going on. So the best in April is the person who did the best at both Blue City Brawl and at Lone Wolf. And considering his partner is not here, it was a pretty easy win for Jeff Swan. All right, here's another one that nobody knew we were running with. Who had a bar tab that was more than $100? Stand up. Who had a bar tab that was worth more than $200? $300? $400?
Holy shit.
How are you alive?
$650.
Holy shit.
$650 friggin' dollars. Give him that bottle of liquor.
I'm feeling drunk as fuck.
He gets a $28 bottle of vodka.
I didn't know there's hip hop dancers here.
Let's jump into player's choice, and then we'll do the medals, and then we'll work our way back into more trophies. So, player's choice, again, this is voted on by you guys. We don't have any input. We didn't even have to go to tiebreakers this year, although we got pretty close. So, third place, Robbie King, player's choice. It's the... Second place, Billy Smith. Any guesses on first? Paul frickin' Welsh.
I tell you.
So there were 13 individual players that received at least one player's choice vote. Paul had 14 of them all by himself.
Wow.
It was a pretty good spread across the field. Team awards. We took the top four scores from the top four scoring players of any team. That was a fun calculation because a lot of the scores were extremely close. Alrighty, let's go with top sports, 14. This is actually a tie, and we had to go to a tiebreaker to figure it out. The Blue City Brawlers are the sportsmanship team. Send up like four guys, come get your medals. Lennon, you did not help with the score.
You're not a hero, sir.
Lennon doesn't go.
Well, he had not changed his head. All right, we'll go to the next team for battle. I don't think anyone's going to be shocked by this one. You guys are already at the front. Just come up and get them. Dojo.
Yeah.
Best battle. Congrats, guys. All right, edging out Dojo for best overall by a mere 4 points. The overall team of Lone Wolf GT is 4 Foot Snake.
Yeah!
Crazy. Congrats, guys.
That's more than four. Do they count over there?
That's why you win! Let him celebrate, Mark. There we go. Yeah.
Jump into paint. Let's do third place paint. Congratulations, Jordan Lawrence.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Never mind. Somebody else. Come on up. Second place paint. Jeff Swan.
Thanks, guys.
First place paid, Billy Smith. Even just like his army.
America.
All right, let's get into sports. Third place, best sports. We had to go to tiebreakers for this one. Chris Bowen. Get on up here, buddy. You can read the team.
Thanks, guys.
Second place best sports, Mr. Matt Young.
Guys.
First place best sports, Mr. Brian Broder.
Top goblin action.
First tournament too.
First tournament?
First tournament.
Nowhere to go but up, man.
Get into some general action. Now, you can't go straight to the best general without first being the worst general. You know which one I'm talking about. Get that one.
Oh, God.
Our bloodiest general edged someone else by 1 point for this award, Mr. Jody Stubblefield. It's a picture of what happened to you all week. All right, let's get to the guys that are actually good at this game. Third place best general, Mr. Nathan Arnold. Second place best general, Mr. J.P. Scott.
Yeah! You guys trade notes on the way up.
First general, Mr. Brad McKay. That one. Let's go overall. That's what we got left, right?
The counter charge?
Oh, yeah, we got a counter charger. Okay, perfect. That is right there. So, counter charger was split. We had to go to a tiebreaker. We had to go to the other tiebreaker. We had to go to a third tiebreaker to figure out who our counter charger was. Somebody's really good at mediocrity. Matt Schaefer.
Congrats, man!
Woo-hoo. That is the hardest award to win.
Yeah, you can't try for that one.
Yeah.
I threw in this little award to hopefully cheer up the Brits after their monumental loss. We have the best Brit. This is going to go to Nick Williams. You get a nifty hat, Nick.
Yeah, it did. Wish I hadn't sucked so much in game four.
So, I need Paul Welsh and Dan King to come up here.
Yes!
While they're walking.
Guys, really?
I tried!
You make me look like a fool up here.
That's not hard.
It's not. I do a lot of that on my own. So I think they just looked at my cheat sheets.
I
think
it's odd.
All right. Second place, Dan King. Which of course means first place.
Congratulations, Paul.
Paul. There we go. Look at that, huh? Yeah!
It's been a long weekend for me. It was a long week leading up to that weekend. Some of you know, some of you don't. I really want to express my insane gratitude for how great you guys have been throughout the weekend. I know some of the games didn't go your way. I know some of them did. I know some of you didn't like scenarios. Some of you did. I appreciate all the feedback. I love it. I love having you guys here. You've totally gotten me over the hump of how shitty the last couple of days were. Really appreciate you guys. Can't wait for y'all to come back next year and for winning. I'll see you guys in a year. How about that?
And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.